humid day here in the Midwest, as usual, here in Northwest Indiana, Chicagoland area. It's like 90 degrees after it was 95 yesterday. And I don't know, I guess we're not all Floridians, so we don't have that in our blood, but we're going to dive into so much. There's a ton of IU news that has come down the pipeline here. IU basketball wants some paradise. They're off to the Bahamas. Meanwhile, IU football is in the top 20 of the preseason coaches poll. Get a bit of that. We're going to dive into that news and so much more on episode 210 of the Hoosier Sound here, where we are the official podcast of Indiana HQ. Our mission and goal is simple. We want to bring in-depth analysis and coverage for Indiana University sports to as many fans as possible across a multitude of modern platforms. Morning, this edition of the Hoosier Sound on Wednesday, August 11th, 2021, where I'm your host, Nathan Krishnan. Here with me tonight is my normal co-host, Matt Lukens. Matt, how's life? We're going to finally see the Mike Woodson Hoosiers hit the court on Friday night. How's everything going? And what are your thoughts on this interesting exhibition tour that Indiana's taking? What are your thoughts on this IU basketball trip to the Bahamas? A fun little exhibition test here in the summer. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think if you look at any major basketball program in college basketball over the last couple of years, usually they have a really good year after they have a summer, whether it's abroad. I know Michigan last year went to Europe, I believe. Saw the season that they had. It's really important, not just because they get games in, which is always important to get game reps in, but it's really more about the 10 practices that you get in the summer, way before you're even allowed to work on stuff. Usually, that's that allotted practice time. Those practices that allow you to get the assistant coaches and everybody else on the same page about what needs to be worked on in the practices leading up to the season, which is good for us, especially so because this is a team that's adding a lot of pieces. And a lot of new people are getting rotated in and they're going to be playing a new system. So getting a jump start on that, I think, is really a heads up move by the staff. I'm probably assuming that this was an idea fronted by the likes of somebody like Thad Mata, who was brought in for the program. Really, really sly, slick move on the program's heads part on getting some of the extra practices and the games in. And to be fair, BC Mega and the team are playing from is Croatia, right?
Serbia.
Mm-hmm. From Serbia is a really good team. They've had draft picks come out of BC Mega before. They have a projected top 10 draft pick on their roster currently for next year's draft. So there's going to be some good talent on the floor that the IU be playing. It's not going to be some walkover team that I've seen IU play Canadian teams in exhibition games, and it is never close. But this will actually be close. This is going to be some really good practice for the likes of the Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about this BC Mega team. Nikola Jovic is somebody who's projected to go in the top 10 of the 2022 NBA draft. We're not joking here. This is not a slouch basketball team. They've got every year professional players coming out of their program. In a high level, this Hoosier trip to the Bahamas, they reach the island on Tuesday night, and they're going to play two games. The first one is Friday night at 7:30 Eastern, and then the second one is Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time. And guess, just to be super clear, Bahamas is on Eastern time. So this, I know time zones can be a little strange for everyone. Bahamas is on Eastern time, same time zone as Bloomington, so 7:30 p.m. tip on Friday, 1 p.m. tip on Sunday. There is no live streaming of these games, though, so unfortunately, you're going to have to hear all the news and all the reports from IU basketball reporters who are on the scene, and I'm pumped to announce that we are sending one of our own, Jevin McCoskey, to the Bahamas to cover this event. Yeah. Pretty nice perk, wouldn't you say?
How did he luck out on that?
You know, sometimes to be perfect.
What the heck, Rob?
He's uh-oh, we're going to have some friction here on the web, on the podcast. Oh, boy. We might have to have him on next week to explain this decision. But no, actually, Jevin puts in a ton of work behind the scenes and is somebody who we're really excited to have on our team. And that's exactly why you've got to follow us on all our social media accounts. We're going to get to that again. We're going to repeat the message later, but we're at Indiana HQ, at the Hoosier Sound. We are your one-stop shop for everything related to this overseas exhibition trip that Indiana is taking. By overseas, I mean across what? Is it the Gulf of Mexico?
No.
Atlantic Ocean? It is the Atlantic. It is the Atlantic. All right. Well, clearly I need a geography.
Wrong coast.
The games are taking place at the Imperial Ballroom on the Atlantis Paradise Island. Nikola Jovic is going to be incredible. And Mike Woodson made it loud and clear when he spoke to the media on Friday afternoon at a press conference that I attended via Zoom. He seemed direct, honest. These comments, he did not sugarcoat things. He said, I'm anxious to see where we are from a defensive standpoint. He kind of went through the list, talked about a number of players. Matt, Rob Finnessy got a lot of attention in Woodson's comments on Friday. Of all the players on this team, is he the one that you're going to pay the most attention to over these two games, or do you not put too much stock in that? It's more of a wait and see type of thing until the real games start in November.
Yeah, it's a more wait and see. Again, they're gonna, Woodson was talking about playing people in rotations and platoons, he said, which just gave me John Calipari vibes. I really didn't enjoy that, but platoons. And so I'm interested in seeing what the lineups are, and particularly about floor spacing. That's what I'm paying attention the most to, is who they got out there, who can shoot, who can't shoot. That kind of stuff, very important to me.
Yeah,
it should be. Who's playing the most minutes at the one and at the five and at the three? It doesn't matter. It's about where they're playing, not how long they're playing.
Interestingly, yeah, Woodson said the focus for the last month and a half has been on the defensive side of the ball. Woodson went on to say the positive behind the month and a half is that they're starting to pick up things I'm throwing at them. He said BC Mega will test them from a defensive standpoint. Some of his comments about the players, I talked about Finnessy. Woodson said Rob has stood out a bit in terms of being more relaxed and comfortable. Good. Which are important words, I think, editorially for Finnessy's development. Woodson, when talking about Trace Jackson Davis, said when Woodson took the job, he was desperately trying to get him to stay. He's playing more aggressive than in the tape I watched last season. And I thought one of the most telling comments is about Xavier Johnson, where Woodson said he's been on his behind, and Woodson didn't say behind, if you get my drift, more than anybody on this team. From a general standpoint, Woodson said no starting position is set in stone except for Trace Jackson Davis. There were comments made about Tamar Bates and Miller Kopp as well, and you can get those details by heading over to our social media account at Indiana HQ. Matt, Miller Kopp, to me, is the guy I'm going to pay some attention to coming up, as well as Xavier Johnson in a grander level. All the transfers, to be honest with you, I'm excited to see how they mix and match and mesh with the holdovers, the guys that stayed. So Miller Kopp, Xavier Johnson, Tamar Bates, Parker Stewart's finally going to get some minutes in an Indiana basketball uniform. So the new guys in a nutshell are who I'm looking forward to seeing. Michael Durr is somebody who isn't getting talked about as much in relation to the other Hoosiers because, well, you kind of say he doesn't shoot threes, or he doesn't. I mean, that's not true either. He does take a couple threes here and there, but Durr is someone I'm pumped to watch. In addition to, like I said, the new guys, Kopp, Bates, Parker Stewart. How do the new guys mesh in with the people who stayed over? Nikola Jovic is going to be interesting, Matt, and there aren't going to be too many basketball games that you watch with as much star versus star matchups as Trace Jackson Davis versus Nikola Jovic. As far as Jovic is concerned, he's a perimeter-oriented forward. Okay, so 6'10", but he can play on the perimeter, do a number of things. It's why NBA scouts are drooling over him. Trace Jackson Davis, Matt, I don't know how comfortable we are with him as a perimeter defender. This is going to be a good test of what he can do out on the arc against someone who has NBA potential.
I hot take. I don't think Trace is guarding that guy.
Ooh, who do you think is going to get the matchup?
I think that matchup is Race Thompson. It's his job to spread the floor and be the defensive stopper that he was last year. Remember, I now don't remember, but he said in some media availability this week that Woodson's been asking him to do everything he did last year and better and then more. It's basically saying you need to be a much better player, right? And so to me, it's important that Race Thompson takes this opportunity, looks at it and goes, this is a guy who can take it down low, but also go in the perimeter. Guess who else can do that? Me. I can do that. I can do that. I understand how he plays. I can play very similarly. So let me go and show you how I play. And I hope he takes it to heart and goes after him.
I want to see Trace Jackson Davis get that chance. After all, it's a lower stakes game. I'm sure
they will both get the chance.
I want Jackson Davis to get the majority of the reps against Nikola Jovic. Look, even if you lose, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, Indiana lost an exhibition game in Canada in their last foreign trip in 2017.
That's true.
I'm people okay.
Lost their minds over that, by the way. I remember that.
I mean, what? It's whatever. I mean, let's go. Give me trial and error. Give me an opportunity here against a legitimate opponent to figure out what you can do, what you can't do. And if you can't do it, well, now you have a 2-month window here, 2.5-month window here to improve and get better. Just to be a little bit more descriptive about Jovic, the Athletic Sam Vecini says he's the next great prospect out of BC Mega. He was the MVP of the Next Generation tournament in Belgrade. He's in the 6'9" to 6'10" range, has legitimate perimeter skills mixed with an awesome feel for the game. He's not the best athlete in the world and could stand to keep improving the consistency and how quickly he can get up his 3-point attempts, but Jovic has a good chance to be a terrific NBA player in the long term. So you talk about a program that has turned out a lot of solid NBA players, or you know, at least guys like Marko Simonovic, who was a Bulls draft pick recently. There are others as well. BC Mega is a program that has a lot of skill and will test Indiana no matter what. Don't be surprised if the Hoosiers lose both games. I'm just throwing that out there right now. No. Don't be surprised if Indiana loses both games and even gets whooped in both games. This is going to be an experimental weekend where they focus on playing another opponent and seeing what works. And this is where Mike Woodson and Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter and Yusir Rosemond will now have 2 games of film against a solid European opponent to figure out how to get better before non-conference and Big Ten play starts. Along those lines, Matt, what defines success for you on this trip? Is it wins versus losses? Is it certain players improving? What are you looking to see as far as defining success on this trip?
My answer was going to be really lame. It was going to be practice. That's defining success. It's already been a success in my opinion. But as far as what player, how could it be a home run? Home run would be seeing Race Thompson hit a couple of 3-pointers, seeing Rob Finney work his magic in the pick and roll. And it's seeing Christian Lander look like a completely new player after last year. That's a home run. If we can see Christian Lander against grown men, by the way, play for BC Mega, some grown guards. All right. We can see him play like the person we heard he was in those Louisville open runs, the person we saw in high school basketball in Indiana. If he can be that guy at this level, watch out. This team has got unlocked a ton of potential for this next year.
Yeah, and I just wanted to be clear on the list of solid NBA players from BC Mega. I had a list put together and I lost it, which is why I stumbled over it a minute ago. How about this? How about these guys? Nikola Jokic, Boban Marjanovic, Vasily Micic, who's planning on coming to the NBA soon. Filip Petrušev, former Gonzaga guy, now taking a shot at the NBA. Ivica Zubac, Lakers and Clippers player in the NBA. Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, who not only was an NBA player with Brooklyn and the Bulls, he played on the French Olympic team that lost in the gold medal game. Sure. Last He's week, really Goja Bitadze, the Pacers draft pick. So without question, plenty of NBA players coming out of the BC Mega program. Fun fact, former IU basketball player Jeremiah Rivers had a trial run with BC Mega 2. So overall, this is a program that turns out a lot of good players. As far as the success metric, for me, I'm looking to see how much Indiana shoots threes in this matchup, because I know that it's not going to correlate perfectly to what happens in the college basketball season, but when you go up a professional NBA EuroLeague type build in what BC Mega is, that is the type of basketball that is modern day, current age basketball. So if Indiana doesn't shoot threes in these two games, they're not going to shoot them when college basketball season comes around.
No.
It's going to be a decline in the quantity compared to what you see in this upcoming weekend. So that's what I'm going to pay attention to. Indiana might shoot 20%. And that, to me, the percentage is less important than the volume. Are they at least getting quality looks from downtown? That's what I'm paying attention to. There isn't a solid number to it, but that's just something I'm going to pay attention to when the stat sheet comes out. I'm going to be frantically texting Jevin on a minute-by-minute basis to get updates on what exactly is going on.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Bothering him even more between his social
media.
Let's
make him regret going to the Bahamas.
That's right. That's the sort of stuff I'm looking forward to seeing on this IU basketball trip to the Bahamas. It should be fun. If nothing else, Matt, I really want to see this team come together. I want to see the chemistry there. And ideally, that more than anything else pays off in the long run, not just for this upcoming season, but for 2 or 3 years down the road. So I'm paying attention to that. Excited to see the Hoosiers take on BC Mega in these two games. Again, like I said, don't be surprised if they get whooped in both games. This is not a scrub basketball team. So let's make that very, very clear.
Here's a wild idea. Why doesn't Coach Wilson put on a Gonzaga t-shirt and go talk to Jovic?
I mean, look.
Do we have another roster spot? I'm sure we could make one. I was watching tape of him, and I was like, looking at us like being interested in Dawson Garcia maybe to transfer in at one point. A lot of people like those stretch fours, stretch fives, and I was watching him play, and I was like, that would be somebody to go really well against next to Trace.
Yeah, well, so it's exactly why there are so many discussions about, hey, is this the kind of matchup that can really help Indiana. I'm not sure, honestly, how much Jovic is going to play, but all I can say is that he did make the trip to the Bahamas, so we'll see how that all plays out. It's time for who won the week this past week in IU sports. And usually here we like to go beyond football and men's basketball. And I wanted to tip my cap to Cole Barr, the infielder in the Mariners minor league system, one of many Hoosiers who just made the jump to the next level into the minor leagues for a number of major league teams out there. With the Mariners ACL squad, that's Arizona Complex squad, League squad, he got his first professional hit. And that's, the first of many firsts that you look forward to seeing with Cole Barr and Grant Richardson and a number of these other Hoosiers hitting to the pros. I love the Twitter account Pro Ball Hoosiers, by the way. Make sure you give them a follow. They give you updates on a day-to-day basis about who's doing well in baseball, basketball, football, all across the world. So make sure you give them a follow if you haven't already. If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast for free, all you have to do is search for the Hoosier Sound wherever you listen to podcasts. Stay up to date with all of our information by following us on Twitter at IndianaHQ, as well as at the Hoosier Sound. And this is important. If you enjoy our show, leave us a review, tell a friend, share our links. Your support really helps us grow this podcast and reach more passionate IU fans such as yourself. Matt, let's switch gears here. Your Indiana football Hoosiers are ranked number 17 in the coaches poll. It's the first time they're ranked going into the football season since 1968. What are your opening thoughts? Number 17, too high, too low, or like Goldilocks, just right?
I think a little too high, honestly. When I'm looking at all the other teams, like I feel like IU has to prove it this year. I think they really do. And remember last year, they got ranked for a bit, and then, Ohio State happened, and you know, then the season just kind of
Ole Miss happened, right? Ole Miss happened in the bowl game.
Yeah. So, you know, I want IU to prove it. And they have a really good chance to prove it week one and what has to be the most important game in an extremely long time for IU. That is against Iowa in Kinnick at night and a ranked matchup on primetime Big Ten Network.
Not primetime, 3:30 p.m. kickoff.
Is it 3:30? I could have sworn it was later.
Mid-afternoon, guaranteed, but it's a good point. I mean, Iowa, longtime power in the Big Ten. They were ranked number 18. And I thought that was kind of funny that in the coaches poll, at least you've got two week one opponents neck and neck in the top 25. The Hoosiers, I think, are too low, Matt. I think they're too low. I think it's ridiculous. I mean, week one's going to be tough. I think this team deserved to be higher in this coaches poll. And I'm really curious to see where Indiana ends up in the AP poll, which at least in 2020 was more favorable to the Hoosiers. I think Indiana's it deserves to be a top 15 team as far as preseason rankings are considered. The AP poll, by the way, comes out on Monday. So make sure you stay tuned over at Indiana HQ to see us release that information. But I think it's too low. I see a team that returns a bunch of key starters. I think the number is 17 starters on both sides of the ball. Marcelino McCrary Ball is going to join the defense once again. You got a number of key impact transfers like Stephen Carr, the running back out of USC, who we're going to talk about in a moment here. DJ Matthews, the Florida State slot receiver, who's going to replace Wap Fillier, in all likelihood. I think Indiana's too low. Of course, the Hoosiers are 5-point underdogs, at least right now, to the Iowa Hawkeyes in week one. So I'm curious to see how that all plays out. But I think it's too low. I think Indiana deserves to be in the top 15.
Who do you think we deserve to be in the top 15 over?
Well,
next three teams?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good comment. I think Cincinnati's too high, if you ask me. I think that's a team, even though they had a great year last year. And held their own
almost everybody.
They held their own against Georgia, and it was an interesting game. I still think that a team there in the American Athletic Conference, to me, top 10 preseason is a little aggressive. Of course, Cincinnati is coming to Bloomington in week three this upcoming this fall. So we'll get answers to that question very quickly.
That game is going to be a lot of fun. If we can win this Iowa game week one, that sets us up for like a possible top 10 home game at home against
Cincinnati. Absolutely.
Prime time college game day, Bloomington.
Not prime
September.
Time. Game time has already been released for that. It's going to be
Take a lap, Matt. Oh my God. Why do we schedule the game time months in advance of a game that
the first few weeks of the season where they released dates and times. The flexing I think starts in week five. Up until the Western Kentucky game, those times have been set. So sorry to rain on your parade.
I'm mad at college football schedule makers.
But if I were in charge of the coaches poll, at least, or if I had a vote, I would have jumped Indiana over Wisconsin, USC, LSU, and Cincinnati. Those are the four teams I would have jumped them over. I think LSU's got to prove it a little bit. Miami's got a week one match against Alabama. So, I mean, whatever. Give them a tie.
Did you say LSU has to prove it when they won the national championship 2 years
ago? Yeah, and then what happened last year, Matt?
And they had a slump.
I mean, let's go.
It was COVID, and did Coach O get in some trouble or something?
Blah, blah, whatever.
Something about money.
No, I'm sorry. This ain't the game of projection. This is the game, the week one vote. That's what my week one vote would have been. All right? Okay. That's what I'm saying.
We are behind Miami by two votes. So, to be fair, we could have been 16.
Well, hey, I will say this. No matter how much you talk about it, Indiana gets to control a lot of where they get ranked. And I bet Tom Allen wouldn't have it any other way. You have the week one matchup at Iowa, who, like I said, was number 18. You've got the week three matchup at home against current number 10 Cincinnati. By the way, Cincinnati, they're not going to lose either of their first two games, just to be clear. So they're going to be 2-0 unless, you know, there's some craziness, absolute miracle, even bigger than that. I mean, their first two games are really embarrassing. But you also have, right? You also have the match against fourth ranked Ohio State in Bloomington. You got the matchup at number 20 Penn State. So again, I don't think Tom Allen is too upset with the idea of, hey, we get to control our ranking. We get to play our way towards the top of the polls. And I don't think he has any issue with that. So again, that week one matchup, I'm already fired up over seeing how that one goes. Out of the opponents that Indiana has on their schedule, man, I talked about the four teams that are ranked. Ohio State's number four, Cincinnati's number 10, Iowa's 18, and Penn State is 20. How do you like where those teams got ranked? Out of those four teams, is anyone too high or too low? I talked about how I didn't like where Cincinnati was ranked. What are your thoughts as far as that's concerned?
Well, I think Wisconsin's ranked appropriately. They're ranked in the 15th spot. And I make a joke about this all the time. 15th spot is like the middle cup in beer pong. It's the easy one. You put it there. You know it's gonna go in the poll. But at the same time, it's so hit or miss, right? You can hit the lid on either side. You can hit the wrong cup if you call it, right? And so Wisconsin being at 15 is kind of like, everybody was voting in the poll was like, they deserve to be in the top 25, but where in the top 25? I don't know. So I think they're actually rated quite appropriately. Penn State, I think, is a little too low. I think they should have been up around where we are. I think Iowa is a little too high.
Ooh.
I think I'm surprised they are a top 20.
You're not a big Spencer Petras fan, Matt?
Oh, heck no. Heck no.
Indiana, I'm really pumped that IU's got that matchup in week one, right? Yes. Like, I love that compared to week 8 or 10 when it's 25 degrees in Iowa City. Let's get it going. Week one, both teams full strength. Let's knock helmets. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that's there. I would have liked to see Coastal Carolina ranked higher. Mm. Not a Big Ten team, by the way.
No, they're not.
And probably won't be after realignment, but you never know the way things are going. But I think they deserve to be higher. Again, they're probably going to run the table again and be one of those teams like, hey, 12-team playoff is when? When are we starting this?
Anybody? Well, hey, I liked how you talked about Penn State and Wisconsin, though, right at the top. That's a week one matchup, Matt. So we're going to get some answers on the first major Saturday afternoon of the college football season. The first Big Ten matchup is Nebraska, Illinois, and they're playing in week.
That's a blockbuster.
It's a week zero game. See, that's 4D chess thinking. By the Big Ten, their game is on August 28th, not even 3 weeks away.
That's two weeks away.
Two and a half weeks away from the first Big Ten matchup. Like you said, Nebraska, Illinois. Not a blockbuster, so let's project that matchup to all of America. Saturday afternoon on Fox.
Hey, you see Nebraska's uniforms they're going to wear against Ohio State?
Absolutely disgusting.
Or no, is it home against Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, yeah, it's for the Oklahoma.
Why did they schedule Oklahoma in the non-conference? They can't even win in the Big Ten conference. West, let alone against an SEC opponent. And then... And then those uniforms are awful. By the way, did you catch that? I said SEC opponent. I'm fine. I know what's happening.
Yeah. You are up to date on the news. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm pumped though. Like week one in the Big Ten, I think is normally, traditionally, more about hype and excitement because your team has started their season and less about the substance of the games because usually everyone schedules a walkover. Indiana,
so Illinois scheduled Nebraska.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Indiana, Iowa week one in Iowa City, Michigan State, Northwestern week one in Evanston, Ohio State, Minnesota week one in Minneapolis, Nebraska, Illinois. It's at least a conference matchup. So, you know,
who's Rutgers playing?
Rutgers has a home match against Temple on the first Thursday night, and Temple's always a finicky, side.
A pretty good matchup
out there in Pennsylvania. By the way, Penn State, Wisconsin, just to make sure I round out those Big Ten versus Big Ten matchups, and then also a couple of Power Five non-conference games: West Virginia, Maryland, Oregon State, Purdue. So all in all, week one is going to give us a lot of answers, more than usual.
Purdue's scheduling is so strange to me. They play teams from the West Coast. I don't know how they do this, but they always play a team from the West Coast and they always lose to them. It's like they play BYU.
Yeah.
They lose. They play Colorado State. They somehow lose.
Nevada.
They play Nevada. They lose.
Yeah, that was the one game. The one game that Rondale Moore played in 2019, and then he got hurt the very following week or a couple of weeks later. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, at least this one is in West Lafayette. So we'll see how that how that one goes. That one, by the way, Matt, not to put any additional sticks in your craw, that one is on primetime Saturday night, Oregon State Purdue. So we're just gonna have to hit the Matt Lucas mute button.
What are we doing with the scheduling?
Hey Matt, how about you give us our social media shout out before you throw anything? Was there anything you saw on social media that caught your attention before we talk about more football here in a minute?
Well, my boy Romeo Langford caught my attention, caught the entire world's attention by literally dunking on a dude so hard I forgot his name.
Devon Reed out of Denver.
Thank you. He dunked on him so hard.
You forgot his name.
Literally, I had his name. It was right in front of me. I can't even read it anymore. It's Camo. He camouflaged the other dude's name. If you haven't seen it, look it up. SportsCenter tweeted it.
Everyone did.
ESPN tweeted. Every draft analyst was like, oh, he can jump like that? To which all Hoosier fans were like, mm-hmm. We've been telling people Romeo's sneaky athletic. He just plays like a smooth cat. Mm-hmm. And he got those hops. So shout out Romeo for putting the world on notice. He's also that Celtics Summer League team is balling. They play really well. I really like their pickup of Naismith, but that's we can talk NBA at any time. But Romeo is really, really good. And he should have a breakout year in the Celtics this year, especially with them actually upgrading their roster for once instead of downgrading for no reason.
He's just 21 years old. For as much as we've talked about Romeo Langford, he's just 21 years old, turns 22 in October. So just keep that in mind when you watch these youngsters try to make an impact in the NBA. Him in the league alone is honestly very impressive accomplishment, but I know he wants more and we all want more. He's just 21. How this all plays out. Yeah. Just speaking of social media, like I said, we have you covered for this IU basketball exhibition trip. We have you covered for all the IU football excitement. Fall practice has started. We're going to hear from Tom Allen tomorrow. That is Thursday. So make sure you follow us. The first step you've taken is great. You're watching our live stream to make sure you're as up to date as possible in all the IU sporting events. But make sure you follow us at Indiana HQ. Make sure you follow us at the Hoosier Sound. Make sure you follow Matt at MD Lukens 10. Make sure he's there. We're there. We're all there to have you covered. We're also on Facebook.
Facts.
Indiana HQ. We're also on YouTube. Indiana HQ and the Hoosier Sound. Matt, what are we on Instagram?
Indiana dot HQ.
That's right, exactly. So that's where you can follow us on all our social media accounts. Be there. You guys could very well be our 5,000 Twitter follower if you have not followed us yet. We've definitely got to get to that mark before kickoff in Iowa City on September 4th. I don't see any concerns getting there, but the faster the better. Matt, there was some IU football news that came down the pipeline earlier today on Wednesday, and that is Avon High School and four-star running back Samson James, who had played two seasons at Indiana, put his name in the transfer portal. There are a lot of discussions about exactly what Samson James' role was going to be in this backfield. Even though Stevie Scott took the leap to the NFL, you had Tim Baldwin coming back after some exciting carries in his first year. You have a transfer from USC coming in and Stephen Carr, but we're going to talk about those two guys in a minute. Let's focus on Samson James right now. He played in 19 games, had 113 carries in his career at Indiana, 371 yards and three touchdowns. His biggest performance came in the bucket game in 2019 in West Lafayette in one of the worst weather afternoons I've ever experienced. He had 22 carries for 118 yards and a touchdown in that contest. Matt, what went wrong for Sampson James at Indiana? There was so much hype and excitement around his arrival on campus, but was he more a victim of himself or the competition around him at his time at IU?
I can't speak about himself. Yeah. I can't. Even though he did try to transfer once previously, but you know, not a great look. But honestly, if he was transferring because, look, the guys he brought in, Carr, former five-star recruit from USC, Tim Baldwin was a four-star running back, by the way, three-star, four-star,
yep,
and he's fulfilling his potential faster than him, then I do not blame him for wanting to leave. That's an obvious decision. He is too talented to be third on the depth chart, which is only a good thing for IU, by the way, because it means you have two even more talented running backs in front of him. Also, I have always thought with the system that we play on offense that a back that is more suited to be shifty and be able to take those delayed handoffs instead of running into three people, make three people miss, much better for this offense. We are sure to miss him in goal line situations because that's obviously somewhere you want to maybe get Penix under center this year so he's not getting crushed in goal line situations and possibly forcing him to run and, you know, get injured, knock on wood. But apparently Charlie Spiegel of Center Grove, I believe, former Mr. Indiana football, has been getting a lot of carries in the backfield. So that's a good news, and that's somebody who can definitely come in and lay the wood down with the best of them. So I see this as nothing but a win.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting just because as someone who actually went to fall practices in person in August 2019 before Sampson James' freshman season, he was built different. He was built different than Stevie Scott. He was built different than Cole Guest, who you may remember was sort of a complimentary back for Indiana a couple of years ago. Who's built different than Ronnie Walker, who's now playing for Virginia. But, you know, when you saw Sampson James on the field, as he was going through drills, his cuts were more cutty than everyone else. His acceleration was faster than everyone else. His strength, you didn't really get a test for, a vision for in practice, but then you saw it in the games. He believed a lot in his power and his strength and the work he put in the weight room. I just think at the end of the day, he was a victim of the other players around him. And Stevie Scott was somebody who had so much experience and he was going to get the starts and he was going to get the carries.
Yep.
No matter what. As long as he was on the IU roster in 2019, Scott was going to get the ball, especially in those short yardage situations. And then you had the coaching change at that particular position, right? And I know IU fans are pumped to have Dylan McCullough around, but Mike Hart was likely very instrumental in bringing Sampson James to Indiana. So
yes,
when somebody recruits you and believes in you and then takes a job at Michigan, even if Dylan McCullough is everything everyone hopes him to be, and as far as recruiting is concerned, he's there. So far as the on-field stuff, we saw him in Kansas City. We've seen him before at Indiana. Dylan McCullough is there. Just different. It's a different voice, different routine, different lecturing, different education. And Sampson James, at the end of the day, just may not have felt as comfortable at Indiana as he used to. Of course, now you've got Tim Baldwin, who is exciting to watch and is about to take the next step. You do have Stephen Carr, and Carr is the big fish, right? After all, five-star high school recruit, got carries at USC. But I like the point you made, Matt. Indiana's kind of like USC in that aspect, right? Stephen Carr left because he wasn't getting the chance because of other guys being better than he was at USC. Well, now Sampson James is kind of moving on from Indiana because right now there are guys who fit that Indiana system, what Indiana wants, more than Sampson James does.
It's only a good thing, and again, it's
2021, right? Football players transferring isn't an indictment on the player or on the program. It just happens. It's just the natural way of life now in college football. So on that note, as we put a wrap around around Samson James, we put a bow on his time in Indiana. What do you think James's next step is going to be? Do you think he's going to look for a high volume starting role at maybe a lesser known school, maybe a mid-sized college football FBS program? Or do you think he'll try to tag along at a superpower and see how things go?
He's got power five potential. I think for him, he finds the power five school after this season that is in the most need of a talented running back that can put his head down and do basically everything and do it all back. And he goes and gets the carries there. I don't care if it's Oregon State. I don't care if it's Rutgers. I don't care if it's Mississippi State. Right, he should go where he can get the most carries to a Power 5 school. He's not going to make it at Alabama. He was never going to make it. If he can't make it at IU, he was never going to make it at Ohio State. Let's be honest here. He originally committed. But he can still make it work at a smaller school like Nebraska.
Too good. Too good. I am here for all the Nebraska jokes. Always.
I honestly feel bad because I feel like people from Nebraska are nice. But
it's got nothing to do with the fans. Their fan base is incredible. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. They're a little bit rabid, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's kind of what makes
it too. Our basketball fans?
It's fine. It's got everything to do with the coaching staff and the management at that school, the administration at that school. They're the loonies. And that's why every Nebraska joke is hilarious.
True.
I think as far as Samson James,
they're easy.
kind of are. Yeah. You know, here's somebody who this is where the personal story comes into play, right? Like, is Samson James, who is from Indianapolis, he looking to stay in the Midwest? Does he want a new experience in life? Go out to the West Coast or to SEC country? This is where, you know, you really do need a peek behind the curtain. If James is keen on staying in the area, sort of Midwest region, I think a very appealing, you know, if I were his advisor, which I'm not, it's probably the best for Samson. But if I were his advisor, I would say, look, at least for now, I think your next step should be trying to lock in a high volume starting role at a FBS conference that is sort of on the next rung that is not the Power Five. So I think a MAC type starting role for Samson James would really be good for his development. I saw earlier this week that Ball State, for example, received 5 votes in the coaches poll. They're supposed to have a good season. They got a non-conference matchup coming in against Penn State. I've seen Ohio University out in Athens make big waves occasionally in non-conference play. I remember they walked into Penn State and won a few years ago. Bowling Green's a school that has always turned out really good players, whether it's at the college football level or the next level. I think a starting role where Samson James gets 20 carries a game at a decent MAC school is one route where I would like to see him take. But of course, that's not what's on IU football fans' mind right now, Matt. We've got two main running backs here, Tim Baldwin and Stephen Carr. Carr is a really interesting prospect. We talked about him being a 5-star high school player, transferring over from USC. He's 6'1", 215 pounds in the backfield. He's able to catch the ball. Tim Baldwin, 6 feet, 211. We've seen him mostly carry it in an Indiana football uniform. Who do you think gets the start week one? They were just speculating here. Who do you think gets the start, and how do you think the carries get split up? I'm just curious to see what you have to say.
Carr gets the start. It's 50-50 on carries. I think week one. I think you see as the game goes on, Carr gets less carries because he's going to get tired out. It's week one. He gets most of the carries the first half. Tim Baldwin is the finisher. He gets most of the carries in the second half. Younger guy steps in and cleans up shop. I think Baldwin looked the best last year out of all the running backs that played besides Stevie. And so I would really like to see Baldwin play more.
I think Carr starts in week one too. As far as I'm concerned, this is exactly where a high profile week one matchup is so much different than what we've seen before, except for the 2020 season, where I remember in 2019 Indiana opened up with Ball State in Indianapolis, and there's usually an easier opponent that first game of the season. Not this year. And I think this is where you say, I'm going to stick to my five-star running backs, guns. And, of course, it's an adjustment for Carr to Indiana, but McCullough, DeLand McCullough, the running backs coach, and Stephen Carr have a relationship going back to when McCullough recruited him at USC. So it seems that the natural inclination would be to let your potential superstar get the majority of the touches. I don't think it'll be 90-10, though, the split. I think it'll be 50-35, maybe 55-35, and then you give the remainder of the carries, by the way, to a guy named David Ellis. Remember him? Sort of athletic, wide receiver, running back, sort of a gadget-type player in the Indiana offense. I think he's going to get more touches, too. Again, I can probably see Indiana leaning on the pass more than the run anyway this year. I don't think that's a real bold opinion, especially when you've got Michael Penix throwing the ball. Hopefully he can stay healthy, and as long as he's taking snaps in that shotgun formation, you want him to make decisions as much as possible. And I think with Ty Freifogel and DJ Matthews and Miles Marshall and David Elsa as the receiver, Cameron Buckley transferring in from Texas A&M, you've got a pretty strong wide receiver group. Especially,
don't forget my boy Hewitt.
Jacoby Hewitt, Javon Swin, you got incoming freshman Jaquez Smith from the state of Georgia, who's highly regarded. So
that wide receiver room stacked.
That's the thing. By the way, I think that is the biggest and best position battle in fall camp to keep an eye out for. Not necessarily who starts, but what sort of the rank order is of those guys as you start the season. Again, you got week one against Iowa, week three against Cincinnati, week four at Western Kentucky. And then you start, I believe, the Big Ten slate with Penn State. So I think it is clearly said that, let's give Stephen Carr the carries, see how this plays out. But I don't think it's going to be a lopsided share of the ball. I think it'll be spread out pretty nicely. I'm curious to see who steps up in those goal line situations, right? Third and one, fourth and one. You used to have
Stephen Scott.
Stay tuned. We'll see if that's the case. Matt, as we wind down on this Wednesday night, do you have any final thoughts? We talked about this IU basketball exhibition trip. The IU football news is swirling around. Number 17 in the coaches poll, Samson James decides to transfer. Tim Baldwin, Stephen Carr, paging. Hello, your time is now. What are your final thoughts on this Wednesday night?
Final thoughts are I cannot wait for us to talk about real life action next week. That's what I can't wait to talk about. It feels like forever since basketball season ended with the prolonged off season. Thanks to us not making March Madness yet again. Thank you, Archie Miller. I was just thinking about it the other day because I was reading the follow-ups about Romeo. People were like, wow, I didn't know he could do this. He was supposed to be good, right? Like, why wasn't he good to start? And I was like, well, one thing is, well, he had a broken hand.
Yeah.
The second thing is he played shooting guard for a coach that didn't know how to run an offense.
Development
offense. He still averaged 18 points a game, and we act like he was bad. And an Archie Miller offense. Who else averaged 18 points per game in an Archie Miller offense? Trace and
Juwan Morgan. Yeah, I think Juwan Morgan.
That's it. So, shout outs to Romeo for being a stud freshman and for putting up with terrible coaching.
Absolutely. By the way, Charlie Spiegel went to New Palestine High School. I don't want to offend the Spiegel family.
No.
Matt's running after this podcast and he's going to be ready to go.
I'm actually running after this podcast.
Sure you were, Matt.
I actually won. After I ate a bag of Doritos.
I'm pumped for football season. Look, fall camp is always telling as far as who's getting the reps, who's getting the playing time. And like I said, you're going to hit the ground running starting in week one. I mean, I don't need to regurgitate the schedule to all of you. You can Google it, but those high profile games early on in the season, let's hit the ground running. I love the Big Ten matches we were talking about. It's going to be just fascinating to see this action all get going in less than a month's time. We're literally talking 2-3 weeks, two and a half to to 3.5 weeks, based on which type of team you support, which type of games you pay attention to. I mean, we didn't even talk about the games outside of the Big Ten. How about North Carolina, Virginia Tech? That should be an awesome game in week one. Alabama and Miami are going to do battle. Louisiana, Lafayette, remember, they were a highly touted team last season. They're going to face Texas in week one. Georgia, Clemson, it's an outstanding week one matchup. Notre Dame, Florida State as well. So let's hit the ground running. It's awesome. I can't wait. You're going to have packed stadiums. It's going to be awesome to watch. Can't wait to see who stands out, who surprises, who stands out and who surprises in that first week. But that about wraps it up for our 210th show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your support, even if we don't get all our facts right. Thank you to our live audience.
Oh, God.
Man, you guys are all beautiful people. To hear more fantastic episodes like the one you heard today, be sure to follow us at Indiana HQ and at the Hoosier Sound to make sure you don't miss any in the future. You can also go to our website, IndianaHQ.com, to find it all in one place. But as always, thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and see you next time.